Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome inside. Final hour this week of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
The Mike Harmon birthday show, actually celebrating his birthday last night, going to see the Rolling Stones.
I did.
Into work tonight on your actual birthday.
Yeah, no, I have a lot to say about the sports I missed last night.
Okay, all right. You weren't even paying attention. While Wilmer Flores was check swinging, you were watching Mick do, "Start me up. Come on, Mick, start me up."
Yeah, he was going back and forth on the catwalk, and Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards were fantastic.
Did he really sound good? I mean, Mick Jagger's 78.
You know what? It really did.
And
I'm
really
sure plenty
around?
Of videos are on YouTube right now, but it was good.
Like, he was moving around like he was, you know, a guy like in his 50s, like he was moving around like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, it was amazing. Like, the level of energy the entire night. Look, he found spots to, and especially when you got Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards to go and vamp a little bit and get into some instrumentals and a great backing band. They had a horn section, backup singers. I mean, you got the whole nine yards, and Steve Jordan coming in and taking over for the departed, sadly, Charlie Watts. They had the moment of respect for him. But, no, it was a killer concert. They came on about 8:30. And then left stage about 11. The opening band, the Ghost Hounds, get this. Thomas Tull is the rhythm guitarist. For those unaware of Thomas Tull, Legendary Pictures, Dark Knight Rises, minority owner of the Steelers, all of those things.
Wow. Have you seen
And Harry was on stage. And they kicked ass. They were all over the place.
The Ghost
Towns. With the influences. Ghost Towns. Yeah.
The Ghost Towns. All right. I like that. I'm with that. All right.
Yeah, it was pretty good. They came out. They played a set. And then the Stones came out with their requisite old-fashioned introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones. And they rolled out. They had a little tribute to Charlie. And then they got into it with a "Let's spend some time together." Oh, no. They actually sang "Let's spend the night together."
Oh,
and got after
well,
it.
Well, okay then. All
well, because right, they well. Used to have to change it for television. Okay. Because it was too profane. No, it was really good. Really good set. You know, they do a thing with each show as well that they let you vote on one of the songs. So you got to do that as well. So that was
cool. What did you vote for?
I forget what the four options were. I tried to get another Keith Richards-led song. Like, I'm a big fan of Keith Richards and the Expensive Winos. So okay. I was doing my best. That's the other band. Check out Main Offender when you get a chance in your discology. But I was trying to get the song Happy, which is one of my favorite Stone songs.
Wait. Zoe just popped in, and she's mouthing to me. Ask him, did they play Sweet Virginia? Because that's her favorite song because of Knives Out. Did they play Sweet Virginia?
No.
Oh, no, they didn't. I'm
Buddy,
sorry.
But that's the all thing, right. though. It's like they could do a 12-hour set.
Oh, sure.
Is the problem. Like, when you start going through all the songs they didn't play, right? She's a Rainbow wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy over the song Brown Sugar right now. So
they're
that's
done. It's retiring, right? It's done. They're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of songs that you're just like, wow. That would have been cool to hear, and that would have been cool to hear. But it's like, all right, they can't do a 9 hours.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. All right, we're going to do the first set for 3 hours now, and then go eat dinner, and then come back, and we'll do another superset. No, doesn't work that way.
Do you know how many hits we have? We have like thousands of hits. We can only do a couple of them. You were only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. All right, so
I will say this: the woman that did the part for Gimme Shelter, her name's Sasha. She absolutely killed the song to where everybody's looking around going, who is this woman and when is she getting her solo deal? And he was just happy as hell because he's like, yeah, we got a star walking the catwalk with me, which is cool.
We could have some real chaos in college football this weekend. It could start tonight
Because right now, we'll get to Clemson in a second and mm-hmm. those posers and those imposters. But right now, number
they were still
nine,
winners tonight, pal.
Number nine, Oregon, one of the teams keeping the rest of the Big Ten out of the top ten in college football. Oregon is tied with Cal, 10-10, getting set to head to the fourth quarter. Cal is 1-4 on the season. Here's ninth-ranked Oregon, who, listen, they have that ranking because they beat Ohio State, but clearly losing last week to Stanford, now they're in trouble against Cal. We could see some real chaos, and suddenly the Pac-12 could start disappearing from the potential playoffs. So we'll keep you updated on this game. Again, just getting set to go to the fourth quarter, Cal and Oregon. Meanwhile, Clemson beat Syracuse tonight on national TV, and everybody's talking about Dabo Swinney and Clemson and winning and this. You know, stop. Clemson is a fraud, okay? Clemson, they are just another team, all right? They were the second-best team on the field tonight against a team, Syracuse, who has a host of problems, okay? A host of problems, the biggest of which is that I can't trust the head coach to make good decisions, right? That's the number one thing. This is the third time this year Syracuse kept themselves from winning a game. They should be 6-1, but instead they're 3-4 because they keep making mistakes that make me want to just pull my teeth out one by one. But Clemson, no matter how you shake this up, look, Syracuse is pretty talented. You know, they got one of the top three running backs in the country and Sean Tucker, who is fantastic. They got a pretty good defense, and still, this is just Syracuse, right? They're just okay, and here they are, and Clemson is barely scoring any points when DJ Uiagalelei is supposed to be the next great quarterback in Clemson. It's just not working. They are just another team in the ACC this year. Now, I don't know if the Clemson dynasty is dead, but it's certainly on pause. And definitely when you go from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, and now, okay, the guy so far is not Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson when it comes to what you see on the field, Clemson suddenly doesn't look like a national championship team. This is still the same Clemson guys, still same recruits, everything else, but at quarterback, they're just not there. And Uiagalelei was okay tonight. He had some nice runs, design runs, was able to get 7 or 8 yards. He's a big kid. It's a really difficult time bringing him down. But this is a struggle, right? Their defense is pretty good, right? They usually let up a couple of touchdowns a game, but their offense is awful. They're just another team in the ACC, right? It's a down year for the ACC. I get it. But this is not, oh, Clemson could get their act together. Clemson is just another team. They're not the Jags, just another guy. They're Jets, just another team. By the way, patent pending on that, patent pending, patent pending.
It's very close to Jets, which, just reeks of mediocrity.
Evil team. Just end things. There you go.
Good. No, yeah. I appreciate that. Okay. But you look at the game tonight. Syracuse actually outgained. Matchup downs, little edge, time of possession to Clemson, penalty yards. You know, you got an extra 17, so not like some of these games where we see you give up an extra football field and go on down the line. So operational efficiency, both teams were poor, 5 of 15 on third downs in this one, which is really kind of funny. You think about, you know, possessions and length of drives and whatever, and the fact that Syracuse matched them punch for punch, encouraging for you in some ways, frustrating as hell, I know, in the other. But let's call it what it is. Clemson doesn't have to be spectacular week in, week out. We've watched that. You know, we're talking about some of the other teams atop. We talked about Oklahoma. Sorry, Bo. The reality is, you know, all you need to do is survive in advance. Right. And obviously a lot made about the Oklahoma quarterback situation this week and preventing media from knowing anything, even listing on the depth chart. Thanks for Bo, our executive producer tonight. He fired off that, you know, it had the or at the quarterback position. So you can have country and Western. They got both kinds.
We're the good old Blues Boys Brothers band.
Exactly. Yeah. So but the point is they're still winning. And Clemson, yeah, they've dropped a couple of games, but you've got a schedule ahead of you. There's no insurmountable task upon it. and it just becomes an opportunity to for Dabo to show, hey, I can coach, because maybe we're not as talented as we are at some of these other years. And maybe he grouses, because remember, he was grumpy old man about NIL and everything else, saying, I can't even coach like that. And some would argue he hasn't. But it's his time now to show what he is. Right, is that you don't have a bunch of A-listers. You don't have considerably more talent, particularly at the quarterback position, than every other team you're facing, which means you're going to have to muddy it up, and you're going to have to go back to brass tacks and find ways to win games, even if it's sloppy. 17-14 still counts as a win. It's not a 51-14 masterpiece that everybody's genuflecting in front of him. No. But it's a victory. You take it, you shake it off, right? Get that big exhale, big gust of wind, and then you go back to work. So while they may be just a team on a grand scale, and they're going to be hanging around and knocking on the door at the end, because reputation wins oftentimes in these games. So, because remember, the Big Ten still has plenty of time to cannibalize itself as well.
Oh, pretty soon, look, Oregon being overrated, they lose tonight. The Big Ten is going to have every spot in the top 10 in college football, right? Georgia will lose to Kentucky this week, and I already have Kentucky as one of my upset specials. It'll be every team in the Big Ten occupying a spot in the top 10.
And as we speak, touchdown Bears. On the roll to the left, finds his tight end and bowls his way into the end zone. That was a pretty nifty little play. Took a big hit, ran through the man at the goal line. Another game to watch, our buddy Rich Hornberger on the call, Fox Sports Radio Weekends, former NFL lineman. San Diego State, 5 minutes left in the third. 6-3 over San Jose State.
Ooh,
right now.
Hope you have the under on that one.
So there's another game. There's another top 25 team. They're unbeaten.
Yep, there you go. So, I'm telling you, everybody in the Big Ten. Everybody in the Big Ten, buddy. So we'll keep you updated on these games here. We could have two top 25 teams losing on Friday night, which is never a good move or a good omen for
a
top 25.
Yeah, but it's great to start a weekend.
Oh, sure. You could eventually. Syracuse at 3-4 is going to be in the playoff. Just watch.
Wow.
You know, we're going to get more into NFL. Mike and I are going to give you our big double the points picks coming up in a few minutes. But maybe you saw the story today that the NFL, according to reports, say no one else is implicated in the Washington Football Team email investigation. So that means it's John Gruden, who is no longer the head coach of the Raiders, Bruce Allen, who has been the person that has been emailing for the course of the 7 years of the investigation, and Jeff Pasch, NFL lawyer who had some questionable emails found that he went back and forth with Bruce Allen while he was the GM of the Washington Redskins. So I'll tell you what, I believe the NFL that nothing else is coming from this, that it's absolutely over. Because number one, the report doesn't come out that the NFL says no one else is implicated if anybody else is implicated, right? Either no one else implicated or they know we can squelch this and nothing else can get out. Because for the NFL to have this story come out, the sources according to the league say, hey, nobody else is involved in this, tells you that either there is nobody or we know we can cover it up. So this is probably the last news dump we're going to get on these emails. The other thing that tells me this is that if you have this 650,000 emails, because I'm telling you, I think there's probably 50 or 60 great topics going on around this. The fact that the second one that got out, okay, it's John Gruden, wow, that was really juicy in what he said and everything he said that was hateful. The second big story is the lead lawyer for the NFL emailing with Bruce Allen. I mean, there's nobody else that's a bigger headline that you found. You go right from one of the biggest head coaches to a lawyer that nobody knows who the hell he is. That's another thing that tells me that maybe this is all the New York Times and that all they have, because it would be something bigger if they had it. You know, you're not putting out Jeff Pasch unless it's, we got nothing else, right? Well, it's a story, and I can't believe the NFL is kind of sweeping this under the rug as much as they have, because he did say some things and imply some things that were kind of hateful, the stuff about Latinos and how they're going to respond to certain music. That was kind of weird for the NFL to say no. But the fact that you go from John Gruden to a lawyer that nobody knows his name, what else do you really have?
All right, so I believe the NFL that this is the end of the story, that all the leaks, all the stories that got out that the New York Times had, they got, and everything else, either it didn't happen or we're able to squelch this. I think this is the last thing you're going to see about this story.
Yeah, I think it's the latter, more so, you know, and then it becomes a degree of severity, right, in terms of public response and pushing through. So I would find it hard to believe if you have that much incendiary content in that few email thread, right? And again, you know, we've got 65,000 of these things, that it's not a, hey, are we going to Applebee's for lunch? Right. It's there. I got to think there's more, not necessarily in terms of race or those issues. Certainly not minimizing it. Perhaps I speak naively in that regard, but for the business of the NFL, and therein lies the question of, you know, as they try and pursue these lawsuits about the moves and relocations and who benefits and pressures and whatever else, wondering if there isn't still, you know, something there. But to your point, that they know it's pretty locked up, right? The no one else was in the room where it happened, as it were. So it would take something Herculean to get that other information out. But I don't think by any stretch you could just say, all right, well, they told us the nearly 65,000 plus or whatever the exact number is. They told us that there's nothing else there, so that they're Jedi mind tricking us away to say, oh, yeah, nothing to see here. No, I was born at night. certainly not last night. Happy birthday, you old man. There you go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Happy birthday, you old man.
It is Mike Harmon's birthday, 64 years old today. Mike, you look great, buddy.
I only look half that by most people I run into in, you know, the wonderful world of gyms and bars. Maybe at the bars I look a little younger because, well, let's call it what it is. They're not in their right minds. But either way, I'll take it. Thank you very much. Sorry I foiled plans, and that dinner plans for folks had to be reconstituted. Your checks are still good for them, Jason.
And you'll always remember your birthday this year. You're sharing it with the day where Michael Caine announced he is retiring from acting.
Sadness, man.
I won't be doing any more acting, Master Bruce. It's time for me to get out. I just want to know that you got out, because I got out. I should have got out after Jaws 4, The Revenge, but I did not. I did
not. No, come on now.
With
man, there's a lot of greatness from Michael Caine, even in recent years, man.
I should have gotten out. It's a broken voice that I have right now, Master Bruce.
I mean, he's going to be in Now You See Me 3. The movie Going in Style was fantastic. I know our guy Robert Guerra is on board with me there. Old guys and caper movies, that's his forte too.
I'm retiring now because I have 47 movies that I shot still to come out. But I won't be doing any more, but 47 movies still coming out.
Wait, he's going to be in The Great Escaper.
That is The Great Escape, the sequel, Great Escaper, and then The Greatest Escaper.
Wait, here's the one-liner on it. Mm. Bernard Jordan escapes from his care home to attend the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings in France.
Mm.
I like that.
Initially, it was the 70th anniversary of me doing Blame It on Rio, but it was changed after that. Master Bruce. Master Bruce. Master Bruce. So,
Happy birthday to Mike Harmon. Happy retirement to Michael Caine. And happy Lay Double the Points.
Yeah.
I do this every week, a new feature this year in the NFL where we tell you games we like so much you could lay double the points on these favorites. 1-1 last week. I'm 8-8 on the season. I am very media. Much better at the upset specials so far, but something brand new. I 8-8. All right. You know, that could be a playoff team. You know, maybe it squeaks in some way. Some years 8-8 gets in. Some years it doesn't. But hopefully we are getting better on the mediocreness. Since it is your birthday, my friend, why don't you kick us off? Give me your first lay double the points game.
Laying double the points off the jump. As I look at it, you got a lot of chaos on the slate. But I'm going to look at Pittsburgh -5 against Seattle. 42.5 is the over-under. So not expecting a lot of fireworks in this one. Some injuries of note in the Pittsburgh side of thing, right? Juju Smith-Schuster with his shoulder surgery. He's gone. Claypool with the hamstrings a little banged up. But defense getting healthy. Najee Harris. Starting to get that run game going. Big game in week 5 and certainly still active. Targets per game out of the backfield, even without that huge 19 target game that he had in that crazy ass affair a couple of weeks ago. So I'm looking at Pittsburgh. I'll lay 10 on this one. They win big.
Buddy, you're going again. You're picking against Geno Smith. You saw Geno Smith last week, what he did. You're going against Geno Smith? Wow, that is gutsy,
sorry,
man.
Buddy.
That is gutsy. That's all right.
Chris Carson means officially placed on IR today, by the way. For
doesn't
those,
matter. It's just more Geno Smith. It's just he's going to throw the ball 60 times, and now he's going to run
Pittsburgh,
it 30.
I think the Pittsburgh pass rush gets after them in this one.
And how about Geno Smith? 67 fantasy points in this
crazy
big win over Pittsburgh. All right, I'm going to give you late double the points. Rams -9.5. So I'm talking about giving 19 points over the
wrong
Giants. But look, let's be honest. Even though Daniel Jones is playing, he's dinged up. Saquon Barkley is not. The Giants have injuries at receiver. The Rams offensive line is going to control this game against a bad Giants defensive line. This is one of those name the score games. Matthew Stafford will throw all day, and the Rams will be up very comfortable in this one. And again, it's a bad Giant defense. I'd love to see a way for the Giants to stay in this game. I thought they'd be able to stand it against the Cowboys a little bit better last week. But this one, as long as the Rams come to play and they're not, hey, we're satisfied with a 14-point win, this should be an absolute blowout. Give me the Rams, double the points over the Giants.
Look at you getting chaotic and twirly running around with that one. I think as you look at the slate, there are some games that are just going to make you a bit nervous that the noise is starting to shake out in the lines, except for that Dallas one. That one's still kind of weird to me. But I'm going to go against the trends, right? Between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, they've both been awful against the number. Brady in primetime games and Mahomes all together. But this Washington defense, as much as we may chortle and snicker at what KC has been, the Washington defense might be the biggest clown show going. And maybe they get some inspiration, right? The retirement, you know, the celebration of Sean Taylor and everything that's going down. Again, ham-handed the way that all came together, but well-intentioned and trying to pay tribute to a legend. That said, KC goes and blows them out. 2-touchdown score. And this one, 55.5 is the over-under. I'm looking for operational efficiency and for Patrick Mahomes to stop being so damn flippant with the ball.
I'm going to give you, and this is a tough one because it seems like a trap line, which is one reason why I like it. How are the Cardinals undefeated going into a 2-loss Browns as the underdog, right? Give me the Browns, lay double the points. It seems like a trap line. All right, yes, we know the Browns are dinged up running the football. Doesn't matter.
No Nick Chubb.
This is going to be Baker Mayfield throwing the football all day, right? They had a big day last week against a really good Charger defense. They're going to keep it up. Look, the Cardinals are a really good team. But now they're at the point where – how much pressure is on as you're undefeated. The Browns at home are going to put up a lot of points. They will find a way to slow down Kyler Murray as long as their defensive line is healthy. And even though, you know, the big guns were limited in practice this week, they're likely going to play. This will be a struggle of a game for Kyler Murray. The Browns win this, and suddenly everybody's back on the Browns bandwagon for the AFC Championship game, which is, you know, where I had them early on in the season. So
yeah,
give me the Browns
gutsy.
-3. So -6, I'll take them over the Cardinals.
Look at you. That's a, how would we say, bold proclamation there. I think you're wrong. But I like the boldness of it. Baker Mayfield, he's been solid, not spectacular. No Nick Chubb in this one. But a fun test for Arizona with, you know, without their head coach, because that's the other element that's missing in all of this as he goes to the COVID list. Still don't know why they can't do my idea of the robot television monitor thing.
Well, you know what? Maybe.
Seems like you should be able to do that.
Just got to wait, buddy. Just got to wait. Could happen.
I'm an innovator. I don't want to wait. Come on.
Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes it's the right idea, but not the right time. Sometimes it's the right time, but the not right idea.
I mean, why wouldn't the time be now? If we could keep arguing about all these different innovations and replay operations, why can't I have the robot coach?
Yeah, you know what? Because you need a robot coach to come in and fill in after a coach gets thrown out, and then maybe it'll work. You know what we need? We need the robots to make the threes in the NBA first, then we can go to robot coaches. Right?
It's really a slow wind-up with those robots, by the way.
Then that can work.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, speaking of college football, right, it's a big night of chaos tonight. Look, I told you, Clemson stinks. They just happen to beat Syracuse. They're just another team, right? But we could be seeing two top 25 upsets, a big one, as Oregon is in a tight one with Cal. They just took the lead 23-17, but there's still 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Oregon lost last week to Stanford. Right now, San Diego State tied with San Jose State 6-6. So that could be another top 25 upset. But this past week in college football really just shows you how much we need more teams in the playoff. What was the reaction after Alabama lost last week? It was, oh my God, the door's open, right? Mm-hmm. Now, from the perspective of, A, they're not guaranteed a slot now in the playoff, to, hey, we thought Alabama was unbeatable, right? So it's a combination of the two things, but mainly, you know that now Alabama and now Georgia is number one. If Georgia loses, suddenly that's a big thing. And look, Georgia's good, but they're not unbeatable. A week ago, it was, well, Alabama and Georgia are on a collision course, and still, whoever doesn't win that game is still going to get in the playoff, and two of the spots are already decided. It's really disheartening. It's difficult at week six of college football to think there's only two spots available, right? But now, with Alabama losing, how many more teams are saying, why not us, right? Half the Big Ten is saying,
that's
why
right.
Not us, right? Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, even the teams outside of it. Cincinnati is saying, hey, we got a real chance now, man. All right. Oregon, as long as they hold on to win. Oklahoma State, Wake Forest, hey, we're the best in the ACC. Don't tell anybody. Arizona State, hey, hello. Hey, we could be the best team. There's so many teams now that feel we can get in this. And it's not a normal season in college football because normally it is teams like Alabama and Clemson. We know they're going, and it's really tough because we're talking about trying to build drama through 12 weeks when we kind of know who three of the four teams are, right? But we don't know about Ohio State. We don't know about all these teams. So now it's you see that all the teams that we normally like to see that are in this, which is usually Alabama and Oklahoma and Clemson and Ohio State, right? Those are your four teams, and now three of them really might not be in it, and it's going to be an outside shot for a couple of them to make it. Look how much more interesting it is when more teams have a chance at the playoff. So I'm not saying you need to make this a full boat, you know, a full-born, hey, it's got to be 32 teams. No, but if you just made it eight teams, right? Because you can sit here and say, is there a lot of difference between the eight team and the fifth team and it's all said and done? Is there a difference between team four and team seven? No, there's not. If you put those four more teams in, that's all you really need to do, right? You're adding an extra week of games. It doesn't matter. I know this is on the table, but last weekend what we saw, the excitement coming off it should be everything that the decision makers need to say, we need to expand the playoff by four. We should look into doing this. We should be doing it sooner because I see what the impact of anybody having a chance or a lot of good teams having a chance getting in there, what it means. Anybody who's near the top of their conference right now thinks they have a shot, whereas normally it was, well, we're at the top of our conference, but we could get shut out. The voters might not like our conference as much. All of these things could happen, but if you have 18, hey, if I'm at the top of my conference, I win, I got a chance, right? So now two or three teams at the top are like, hey, we can do this, we can do this. That's a really big thing for college football. It builds drama, it builds everything. Last weekend is all you need to know. This is the time.
Yeah, I mean, just look at all the baseball playoffs, right? Going down into the final weeks of the season, you got a lot of cities that are still in the mix. Do they think they have a chance truly to win it? Maybe, maybe not. Because hope, as we know, is a dangerous thing. But it's also the best of things. You get into the dance, you have no idea what's going to happen, right? It's like when you went to any of those dances in high school. You may not have had grandiose expectations upon walking in, but that might have been the time of your life by the time it all ended. And you might have gone home with someone you didn't, well, show up with. So all of those chaotic things may happen.
At a high school college dance? Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
When your mom comes to pick you up? Hey, didn't
your
come here with
Your mom came to
Jenny?
Pick you up? Come on.
Nope, Mom, this is Ashley. Come on, take us home. We're going down to the basement to watch a movie. Oh, whoa, okay. We'll get there as fast as we can. I'll get the station wagon only gets up to 38, but just give me a couple of minutes.
And by movie, I mean, the Scramble Channel. Sure. Because we're not paying
Scramble
attention
channel.
Anymore. Yeah, no, like, what are you watching? Nothing. Something. I'm not sure. Whatever. You turned the TV on, then you didn't, you know, think about it. But the idea being that if you open up the playoffs, we always talk about revenue for one. I mean, that's the big thing. But keeping November games relevant, especially as the bowls themselves, not as much, right? You got some boosters that are going to be celebrating no matter where they go, no matter how many times they've been to the same damn city because they finish fifth in the respective conference every year. Hey, we got those standing reservations at that hotel, right? So you have those kind of situations. But beyond that, you want to keep your, you know, pedaled, you know, to the metal, as it were, you know, to use the hackneyed phrase. Just because the idea of the NFL at that point, now you're starting to think about playoff jockeying and what you're doing in the second half of the season, or if you split it into quarters plus one now, that, you know, you're trying to make your last move, and down the stretch, a lot of divisional games and everything. So the attention completely shifts, not to mention the NBA starts playing. We've already got the NHL, it's dropped the puck. There's just so many other things that start invading the space. So if your team's middling or really the head doesn't have a chance at that, even a sniff of that, the top four, then perhaps, you know, as a conference, you know, there's a whole shift away from that energy. Here, you bring it back, you can really push the hell out of your product, and including all of those players that you would love to become household names, you know, before the combine and draft process.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, an absolute must listen. Wait till you hear the story. Jay Glazer told tonight about John Gruden during the show. I promise you, it is 100% worth it. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend and birthday boy, Mike Harmon. Earlier tonight, we got to talk to Jay Glazer. And, you know, Jay visits with us every week, and we wanted to know the update on what's going on, the latest with the NFL 650,000 email scandal. And he jumped in right away with a couple of stories about John Gruden and Bruce Allen that were absolute legendary. How mad he got at Bruce Allen over the course of some emails involving Balco stuff, and how upset he got. It was a great story. And he also told a great one about John Gruden, because Jay told us from the beginning he's not going to be in any emails with Bruce Allen, John Gruden, because of his past with both of these guys. Here's the story Jay told us about his relationship with Gruden.
And I forget what he said, but I was sitting with Sean Payton, and he came over and he said something. He was just being rude, and I did. I do think he's a very tough guy. And this is not me piling on, John. It's what I've always felt. And then he said something else, and then I got up and told him he's a fake tough guy and kind of said it real loud, and then Sean wanted nothing to do with it. And so that's kind of been me and Gruden for a long time.
So there it is, you're a fake tough guy.
Well, yeah.
Now, he did go on to say that, hey, we talked about it after, and, you know, I talked about three other times since, and we talked about that time. But, you know, Jay telling Gruden, you're a fake tough guy. I can't imagine. John Gruden had to have just been speechless when Jay said that to him. I mean, absolutely speechless.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, after a couple of MFs and some salty language, there's no question. And the eyebrow. It's not quite the Rock's people's eyebrow, but still that furrowed brow and grunting in his general direction. But certainly the confrontation of it, and Jay saying, like, you're not going to find anything of that that ilk on me in all of this. So I think it's curious, you know, to see, you know, what direction this takes. But Jay dropping those stories, not what I expected on a Friday night. That was a great birthday gift. Here's another stat that you'll appreciate, just to let me throw this out from the baseball game. The Astros batted .423 on balls in play today, by the way. You know, just throwing it out there.
Hey, and now let me just throw this out there, too. Right? Great story by Jay. What if we did this, right? Astros win, and even though everybody hates the Astros, they want them to make it to the World Series. Everybody wants Dodgers-Astros in the World Series,
sure.
Right? Everybody wants. Okay. So now, here's instead of one of those crazy mayor bets where the mayor of L.A. says, let's bet, I'm going to bet this, the mayor, blah, blah. The Dodgers say, okay, here's the deal now. We're going to go double or nothing on the World Series. If we win, we get the 2021 World Series, and we get the 2017 World Series. You give that to us. If you win, you get to keep both of them, and the scandal is over. That's what I would do if I were the Dodgers. Yeah, we're going to go double or nothing on this World Series. You give it to us. You know, we win, we get them both. You win, you keep them both. The scandal's over. Boom.
No, I kind of
the Astros
that.
Have to say yes.
Yeah, no, I like the cut of your jib on this one. This one's pretty chaotic. It's not just slabs of meat or sandwiches, certainly opens things up to a whole other way of doing business. I kind of dig that.
Sandwiches.
By the way, I do appreciate that the Astros have really leaned into being the villains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice.
Because they
right?
know people are just going to keep talking smack on them, and rightfully so. Once you're you have a brand, you have a brand. So embrace it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Our Best Of podcast goes up in a few minutes. Download it on iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe. We'll love you forever. This is Fox Sports Radio.